Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Well, it's good to have you all here today. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is read at many weddings. It's called the love chapter. And let's pray before we read. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit have the preeminence in this building today. Lord, I pray that today you touch hearts. I pray that everyone here feels your Spirit and your arms wrapped around them. Lord, I pray today that you use us to spread your word, your Spirit, and your compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks about unity. And it talks about unity even though we are all different. And he says that the church is like a body. And you have not everyone's an arm, not everybody's a leg, not everybody's an eye, not everybody's... But it takes all these together to make a person who he is. And he says the body of Christ is the same way. So knowing that we are all different, knowing that we all like different things. I said, look at the parking lot. There aren't two cars alike. You might find some the same color. You might find some the same make. But they're all different kinds because we all have different tastes or reasons for what we're looking for. So he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says this, for though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and clinging cymbals. He's saying there's one thing that's more important than anything else, and that's that we love one another. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult because people try to push us away. They put up their defenses. They act angry. They speak angry. And it's hard for us to get in and let them experience what Christ has done for us. I was reading a story about a man that was in a play, and it was an Easter play. And he was playing Christ, and he was carrying the cross down the road, and there was this one man following him, heckling him. He said, you can't carry that. And he was yelling things at him all the way down, and finally the guy thought he just couldn't take it anymore. He laid down the cross, and he went over, and he punched the guy in the face. Well, after that play was over, the director called him in and said, you can't do that. I'm going to have to let you go. Because Jesus didn't act like that. And if you're going to be Jesus in the play, you've got to act like Jesus. Isn't that something that we are supposed to be like Jesus? We call ourselves Christians. We too should act like him. And he promised, I will control myself and I will not react that way again. So he picked up the cross and he heads down the road and this same heckler comes out. And he's two times worse than he was before. The fellow starts gripping onto the cross and hanging onto the cross and starts sweating and he's getting more angry and more angry. Finally, he stops and he turns to the guy and says, I'll deal with you after the resurrection. Well, let me tell you something. If there's somebody you got to deal with or somebody that you've got to axe, you've got to grind, deal with it after the resurrection. Okay? Because everything's going to change. Because of the resurrection. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Hebrews 12, 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. That's what the Scripture says. Do everything you can to live in peace. I know I've pastored church, pastored here almost 30 years, but I've been pastoring since I was 23. And I've always had, in the church, I see people that come in with a chip on their shoulder. They're just waiting on someone to knock it off. They're waiting on somebody to tell off. They just can't wait to get it right and get in their face. And the Bible says, we're Christians. We're following Him. We're supposed to be like He is. And we're not supposed to act that way. Matter of fact, He says that a Christian is patient and kind and loving. He says this, I want to show you in every situation, the most important thing is love. Paul said in verse 1, that love is more important than spiritual gifts. Though I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am only as a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. In front of the temples to the gods back in that day, they would have this big cymbal hanging sometimes in front of the temple, and they would hit it. It didn't really do anything, it was just loud. And Jesus said, you're just like them. You're just like the people that go to the other temple. If you claim to be Christian, and you can quote the Scripture, and you can say the Scripture, and He said, but if you don't have love and show love, you're just like them. It doesn't count. Though I have knowledge, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. He's saying, though you get the best education you can get and you understand everything and you can teach, if you don't have love, it's nothing. So whatever you're pursuing in life, pursue first how to love. And you can't love without being able to forgive. Long-term relationships are built upon forgiveness, not perfection. So what we must do is we must decide in our heart that like Christ forgave us, and we continually fail, and He continually forgives us, we will continue to forgive the ones we live with, the ones we work with, the ones we go to church with, the ones we grew up with. We will forgive. Because unless you forgive, you cannot love. You can't get over that barrier of holding a grudge. So He says, though you've learned everything, and you want to teach your children, all parents want to teach their children, you're not going to be able to teach your children unless you first show them that you love them. And that means sacrifice. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:2, love is more important than knowledge. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So you really want to make a difference with your kids and grandkids, pat them on the back and love them and build them up. He said in the 12th chapter, He said one of the things that you do is in verse 22, much rather these members of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And these members of the body which think to be lesser honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. He said we lift them up. Why? And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lack it. And there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So you're going to have a child that doesn't catch on as fast as the other one, one that isn't as ambitious as the other one. You got to put more praise in them. You got to put more honor in them. You don't just walk away and turn your back And it's the same way in the church. Have you ever tried to put yourself in someone else's place? My mom used to tell me, until you've walked a mile in their shoes, Bobby, you don't understand. And I try to do that with the congregation. And just take someone and put in your mind, what if you came to church and you were them? What if you came to church and no one said hello to you? Would you still come? I think those people who are quiet and backward and people don't talk to them much, they may be more dedicated than some of the rest of us, because it's more difficult for them to keep coming. And the Bible says, though you can speak eloquently, though you can speak with tongues of angels, if you don't have love, no one can hear you. Though you have knowledge and you have not love, no one will understand you. Thirdly, he says, if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:2. So you may have faith and you say, oh, I can walk in and I can pray for you and things are going to happen and I know things are going to happen. You can have all the faith you want, but if you don't love the person you're praying for, he said it's nothing. Galatians 5:6. Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to flames but have not love, I have gained nothing. He said, you can give all the money you want to give to the poor. You can help as many people as you want to help. And most of the time, many times people give in order to be seen, in order to get their name on a plaque or get their name on a wall. He said, you've got to love those people. An old preacher told me one time to preach to the back row, because if you do, everybody can hear you. He also said, love the most unlovely. When you can love, the hardest one there is to love in a church, you'll love everyone. I love you, Michael. Oh. We reach out because we want to do it right. We want to get it right. We only have this lifetime to do and to work. The Bible teaches that love is something that we can control. The world teaches that love is something that you can't control. The world teaches that you just fall in love. The other one says that you just fall out of love like you fall off a rock. There's songs that goes, you know, I've lost that loving feeling. I can't help falling in love with you again. But the Bible doesn't teach that. It is commanded that we love one another. That means you can control it. God commands that we love one another. So you decide that you're going to love someone. You decide that you're going to love the church. You decide you're going to love your family. You decide you're going to love your friends. You decide you're going to love those who you work with. And you make that decision and you follow through because God commands you to love. It's an option. And when you start loving your family, it'll spill over into the church. You start loving the place that you work and you say, but preacher, you don't know where I work. Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you this. When I was working in a factory, when I got out of the Navy, the Lord had already called me to preach. I was 23 years old, attending Bible college, working in a factory, and doing revivals. And I'd walk into the factory, and in 4 months, I got bumped off my job 6 times. 4 months. Someone with more seniority than me would bump me. And so I went in the plant superintendent, and I said, what's going on? And he said, well, your attitude. I said, I don't think I have a bad attitude. He said, I don't think you have a bad attitude either. He said, you come in and whistling and you're singing and you're smiling and you're happy. And he said, you know, come in and kick the time clock. You know, before you get on the tow motor, kick it a couple of times. He said, you know, put a frown on your face. He said, everybody thinks you got a better job than they do. And he said, why are you smiling all the time? I said, because God's good. I said, finally, the last job I got is driving a fork truck, and I get to talk to everybody. And, you know, I said, everybody's having a bad day. But I hope that I can make that day a little better. See, I wasn't working for the factory. I was working for the Lord. People need to know that you love them before they'll listen to you. And love does trickle down. Not everything does, but love does. And when you have love in your family, a husband and a wife, your kids will experience it. Your kids will take that to school with them. When you have a love in your family, it'll spill over to your extended family because you're willing to forgive and you're willing to reach out and you're willing to love them. And it'll spill out only into your church but into your factory, and you'll find out that the place that you work will be a better place. Let me tell you what happened to the place that I was working at when I got out of the Navy. I got ordained and I invited everybody to church. And the church was full the night I got ordained. And I had four preachers preaching and they preached hard. First one down the altar was the day superintendent, the plant manager. Got saved. Well, I'd worked with him some before I got bumped to nights. Several more people came to the altar, and then the night superintendent, the night plant manager, came, and he got saved. Pretty soon the altar was filled, and then I would go to work, and I remember this one fellow said, you know, I've been a Christian, but I've not been on fire. And I said, well, you need to get on fire. He said, you're pastoring now, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He said, I think I'm going to come over to your church. And he headed up our children's program for about 7 years. You know what? It spread through the factory. You mean people in a factory can get saved? Not if you're not living a Christian life, they can't. Not if you're ready to punch somebody every time they make fun of your little cart. Jack was, you're a plant manager, right? Night supervisor. Day supervisor. Okay, at Chrysler. Anyway, he has a bad knee, and he said they were making fun of him on his cart. Tell him after the resurrection. He wouldn't know how to handle that. But I remember when I was a kid preacher, and there was these old men in this little town I was pastoring in, and they had coffee every morning. So I started stopping in with those old men and having coffee. And for a while, they didn't know who I was. And there was this one old man, he was in his 80s. I know that's not old gentleman now, but Pastor K, I'm sorry. But he is in his 80s, and he had been a deputy sheriff for years. So I started listening to his stories that he told about when he was a deputy. And I remember he and I sat there at the table after everyone else had left, and he told me about John Dillinger breaking out of jail in Lima with a bar of soap that he made, and he put shoe polish on it, made it look like a gun. And they got a call on their radio that they were probably coming down Route 24. He said, you know, we were young, and he said, I'd been around for a while, but me and the sheriff had talked, and we decided that we didn't want to run into John Dillinger. He usually had machine guns with him, so we went over on 224 and set up a roadblock. And I laughed, and he laughed, and then I heard he was sick. And I went to his house, and I just sat down in a chair, and he was in a chair, and we started just visiting. And I said, tell me some more stories, and he told me some more stories. And I said, can I come back? He said, sure, you can come back. So a couple days later, I went back, and His wife followed me out in the yard and said, "My husband's never allowed a preacher in this house." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "You're the only one." And as time went on over the weeks before he died, the conversation turned to the Lord, and he gave his life to the Lord. Let me tell you something. You got to love them. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. You got to love them. Jesus sat and ate with the sinners and the publicans, the Bible says. And the Jews condemned him. I wonder what Jesus was talking about. I doubt that he was talking about the resurrection. I doubt that he was talking about his death. I think he was listening to them and loving them. So when they heard about who he was, they said, "Yeah, I know. I talked to him." So many times we are so bent on pushing our agenda that we forget that other people are in messes and hurting. And we don't care enough to listen. And we don't care enough to love them. They will never care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Paul said there is a more excellent way, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. Has God got a hold of you enough that you're determined that you're going to love one another? Has God got a hold of you enough that you can make a conscious decision that you're going to love your enemies? If you love your enemies, I think I know why he said that. Because if you love your enemies, you can love your family a whole lot easier. You can love the people you work with easier. Because he said, "Preach to the back row so everybody can hear." Let us stand. Everyone in this congregation carries a burden. Everyone that you meet in your life carries a burden. And if God puts you in their life, God means for you to help them lift that burden, and only Jesus has the power to do that. So until they see Jesus in you, you're a sounding brass and tingling cymbals and of no effect. I like the old song that Bill Gaither, I think, wrote. We call each other brother and sister around here. It's because we love one another. And I can tell you this, I've been here almost 30 years. I've never been part of a church or seen a church that loves one another as much as you guys do. You love each other enough to do the work in the church, to give to the church, to help one another in the church. And very seldom there are even questions that are asked because you care. Someone bought new curtains and put them up. They said, "Preacher, don't tell them who it was, just tell them to put them up." Some of you didn't even notice. Somebody went to a lot of work and expense. So we thank the Lord for that. Our Heavenly Father, we don't want to be critics. Satan has put enough of those on our backs already. What we want to be is encouragers to one another. We want to actually love one another. Help us today to make a conscious decision to actually love one another. And for that, we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.